report from Cappy Lang on the legislative session here in Illinois, so.
Oh, mercy.
Good afternoon, Chairman Kennedy and President Hogan and members of the Board of Trustees. If you'd leave the lights up just for a second, because before I plunge into this pension presentation, I just wanted to give you kind of a year update on the Office of Government Relations. July 1 is a very important anniversary for the president of the university, but it was also my start date last year. And I came in charged really first and foremost with the mission of enlarging our footprint in Washington, D.C., and specifically to put a full-time staff person out there. And I'm pleased to report today that John Pyatt has been with us for about 3 months. He's been absolutely fabulous. I think some of the people in the audience have had the pleasure of working with him. He is out there full-time. We've opened an office in the state of Illinois suite in the Hall of State, so that's been working well for us as well. In addition, we've enlarged the scope of the contract of our Washington, D.C. consultant to include the three campuses, and so I'm really pleased with those developments. The thrust of my comments today are going to be about Springfield, and I see that I left my notes behind. Let's see if I can do this by heart. Walt covered the sort of the big ticket money items, both the appropriations and the newly released capital funding. So I'm not going to cover those at all. I'm going to talk instead just briefly about a couple of the bills that we were successful actually in stopping in Springfield. You don't really get headlines for things that don't happen. But, oh, Larry, I love this thing so much. I did want to tell you that there were some bills that Chancellor Alan Mears is particularly aware of that we've been following and that we needed to stop, and we were successful in doing that. One of those bills would take away our discretion to spend the tuition that we collect. So that was a really important bill to keep in bottled up, and we were able to do that. A second bill that we stopped was a bill that would have taken away our discretion to classify employees, whether civil service or academic professional, when we hire them. And again, that was a bill that we were able to keep from moving forward. On the proactive agenda, Dean Nelson yesterday talked about procurement, and I want to touch on that a little bit more going forward. But I'd also like to mention that Diana Barrows and Deshauna Forney, who are here today, if they would stand up, and just recognize that they have done a tremendous job for us in Springfield, both in terms of these defensive moves and in terms of proactively. Diana passed a bill that helps the university collect tuition and its medical fees without any hindrance. And Deshauna passed a bill that helps our School of Veterinary Medicine deal with its use of certain restricted medicines. So these were bills that the departments came to us and asked for action, and we're pleased to have to report that we did get that done. So thank you both. My project this year has been to try to get some changes to the state procurement code, known affectionately as SB 51. And I am not here today to report a complete success, although I am happy to tell you that this has been a taboo topic for several years now. And through a lot of help from particularly Heather Haberacker and Mike Devesel, we've been able to, and I guess I should also mention Chairman Kennedy and President Hogan, we've been able to get the door cracked open now. We're able to have Senate hearings this year. Senator Harmon chaired a select committee. We gave testimony. We organized the universities to give testimony. And so we're progressing. When Senator Cullerton decided that he was going to allow us to proceed with this matter, he assigned a staff person from his law team. And that young fellow said to me, he said, "Oh, this is great. I've only got two major projects this year, and you're one of them." The other one turned out to be redistricting. So we got caught behind kind of a big traffic jam backup, and our bill didn't get brought to the floor this spring session as we had hoped that it would. But we do have a bill. It's in committee. An amendment that Heather and Mike helped a lot to write has been filed. We hope that in the veto session we'll see action on this, and I know that it's a matter of great importance for many people here. The trick with veto session is it's only 6 legislative days, so I'm not able today to promise success, but we're going to press real hard on it. Yesterday I was able to, I was given a chance to address the Academic and Student Affairs Committee, and they specifically asked me to drill down on the subject of pensions, and with your indulgence I'm going to take some time now and just quickly cover where we are with that. So now if we could just see if I can do this. I might need help after all. Okay, I'm gonna, if you would just advance the slide for me, that would be great. This is the picture of where we were when we started the appropriation process this year. Actually, I guess I should back up to the prior fiscal year. After the November election, there were a lot of there was a lot of turnover in the House and Senate. And in January of this year, the General Assembly, in the dwindling days of the 96th General Assembly, the largest one-time increase in the state income tax was passed. And it was prompted in substantial measure by the fact represented in this chart, which is that the state has now allowed its arrears to run up to the level of surpassing $7 billion. $7 billion, coincidentally, is just about the estimated yield of the new tax on personal and corporate income. So additional measures besides tax revenue increases need to be undertaken. And one of the drivers for this, if you'd show us the next slide, Walt showed you this slide earlier this morning. You'll see in the fiscal year 12 slide that pensions occupy about 20% of the appropriation pie. And this is a number that will only grow larger as the years go by. So the General Assembly is now trying to figure ways to at least stop the growth rate of that section of the pie, or even to shrink it. If you'd show us the next slide. This is not a problem that Illinois is grappling with all by itself. In fact, most of the states of the union, public employee pension obligations have ballooned out of control. So this shows you the company that we're in. The map does not show you that Illinois has the dubious distinction of being the worst state in the country for its pension obligations. The next slide shows you the extent of it. We owe, I think on a conservative estimate, $85 billion to our employees. And this chart shows you that there's 5 public funds. The largest is the K through 12 teachers. And state employees, SERS, and state university, SURS, come in next. The 2 little slices there are the judicial fund and the General Assembly fund. Collectively, these funds are owed $85 billion. And the next slide will show you that this is not news to the lawmakers. There have been a number of efforts in the past to address the debt, including there have been a couple of borrowings and there have been some pension holidays. That's why in the pie chart that we were showing you earlier, if you would go back to chart 3 for just a second. Could you backtrack us? Yeah. So if you look at fiscal 2011, there's no payment there at all for pensions. And the reason why is that in that year we borrowed to make the payment. And what Randy Kangas found when he was doing this research was that indeed we haven't made a square payment to this fund since 2002. We've done a number of different budgetary dances to try to avoid this music, but now the music must be faced. So the next slide will show you, the next slide we would have seen. One more. Here's a history of pension reform effort in Illinois in the past. So you'll see that we started back in 1994 trying to grapple with